This episode of AetherStream is brought to you by Aetherflow Media. We would not be able to create content like this without the support of our amazing patrons. Welcome back, everybody, to AetherStream. I'm Dylan Thorne, one of your hosts, along with Enki.
Hi.
Croatone.
Hello.
And Tilp.
Morning.
Today, we are going to talk about the new expansion, Shadowbringers. We're just going to do a brief new expansion early review, talking about the launch, how it went. Was it smooth? We're also going to talk about job changes, new areas, just a couple of them, Crystarium and Amarang. Let's go ahead and get started. Let's start with the launch. How was the launch for everybody?
Nothing like Stormblood.
Can I just interrupt here for a second? I want to give like a huge spoiler warning for if you haven't gotten to Shadowbringers, this is your first and final warning.
Yeah, don't listen to us. Get out while you still can. Go play the game.
Yes, definitely. Spoiler warnings abound.
Even if we're covering stuff that will be covered by the time a week or two has been passed, it still has spoilers. Like, there's so much to unpack.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot packed into even just the very early parts of this expansion. I don't know. Like, as far as like an overall kind of like, I guess, summary review as far as what I've experienced so far, holy Koopa nuts.
Insert like chocobo sounding expletive here.
Alrighty, so like we were talking about the launch. I felt it was actually really smooth. The only thing that actually happened, I think the first day, is we had that DDoS attack, and like a lot of people, I got kicked out of the game for about an hour. Kind of took that as a sign that, you know, now is a good time to go take a break since I had been up since about 5 a.m. Oh, yeah. That morning.
Yeah, there were people who had been playing for hours by the time like that stuff started mm-hmm. happening. Everything had been smooth, and it was only, like you said, it was for an hour at most. I mean, think about everything that happened in Stormblood and the DDoS then.
Stormblood locked people for days, so
yeah days.
Big like, difference.
But Stormblood wasn't a DDoS. It was more of an instance wouldn't close out.
No, the Rabon X instance was a DDoS. They said they announced it later. They found the cause of it. It was reacting with the instance. So it was like a double issue.
Double whammy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So many people trying to go into the instance at the same time the DDoS pretty much broke the game. So it was like trying to balance both at that same time. And then they figured it out.
This time we just got an itty bitty baby one for an hour, and then Square Enix was like, girl, I don't know you. Get the hell out of my face. And everybody got to play again.
Yep.
Day two, the only issue that was there was instances weren't closing out. So instances, even though people were aligned and ready to pop in, there wasn't anything for them to go into because they were all full.
Oh, yeah. I actually did not encounter that, but I can imagine how that would be very frustrating.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't see any of it either.
Aside from that, also one thing that was really impressive, unlike Stormblood, where I would go take a nap or I go to work, come back home to a nice, you know, 15,000 or 1,500 person queue, and in about 2 hours, maybe I'll make it in.
Oh, those nice queues. Oh, it's just like, at max, I think it was like 100 people at any given time, at least on Balmong, it was 100 people.
Yeah.
And that went by so quickly.
Yeah.
I had 200. That was about the most I've seen. Otherwise, it's always been underneath 30 for me.
Yeah.
And now it's just like nothing. It's just like radio silence from all them queues and all them issues and errors and stuff. Nobody's getting thrown out. I'm just like, what is this, Square Enix? What magic did you work? How many souls did you sell? Tell me. I must know for journalistic purposes.
To fix the data centers.
So let's just point this out to any future development. Take a note from Square Enix. Do what they did. We don't know what they did, but do what they did.
Yeah, the difference between Stormblood and Shadowbringers is palpable. You can physically see the change. Like, everything was so much more smoother this time around, and it was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Yeah, and at least as far as myself, I don't think I really ran into very many bugs. As far as, also, it was really easy to go pick up the job quests for the new jobs, whether it be Dancer or Gunbreaker. You were able to, actually, doing the first introductory quests, they also included instanced areas. At least for Dancer. No problem getting into that.
No, same with Gunbreaker.
Okay, that's great. And then it was off to the races as far as leveling. Doing all of that was actually really easily once we finished leveling, got right through the introductory quests into the main part of the expansion. It was one of those things, actually, I was leveling with a friend, and he actually said, it's like, is the launch not going very well? Because it just seems like this is going too smoothly. Are people not playing?
Yes.
I'm like, no, they are.
We were waiting patiently for something to go wrong. We were so happy that everything was working. It's just like, oh, this is too much of a good thing.
We got a DDoS attack. That was.
I mean, we got what we were hoping for, but it wasn't as long as we expected either. So
yeah, it was very, very anticlimactic. It's like
1 hour, and then you're back on. You're like, oh, hey,
okay.
What?
I'll just carry on as normal.
At least for the East Coast, it was around dinner time, so I was like, okay, time to go eat.
Yep. Get some food, chill out a little bit.
Have some lunch.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the launch then went amazingly well. You know, one of the first things that I know me and a friend did is we went off to get the new jobs. So that kind of leads us into the next part with all of the new jobs and the job changes. Let's go through, everybody, what are you playing and what do you think?
So I want to take the floor because I want to tell Square Enix, and I feel like this might start some debates. I'm not out to start any debates, but at least for me in a personal level, tanking is so much easier now. And if anyone has had any fears about the tanking process, now's the time to try it. I promise you, the process has been so much more streamlined.
Yes.
Tanking will not, you shouldn't be afraid of tanking anymore. If you want to get into it, if you've been hesitating, now's the time to try it. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. They did so much work on the tanking class and the role and how all of it works as a whole. And it's so good. So good. I love it.
Do you think it's been oversimplified maybe?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Like, I can paint this for you guys real easy. Me and my friends went into a dungeon. He didn't have tank stance on. We fought. I took Hate, and then he switched into his M2D stance, and within 3 hits, he had Hate.
Yep.
And then I just started shrinking on that Hate list. It's like,
yes.
Holy. No,
they fixed enmity generation so well. You can hold your stance and not worry about losing DPS. So tanks always get your stance on now. You don't have to stance anymore. And that's a big deal because stance dancing is something that was difficult for a lot of new tanks to remember.
It gave them tanxiety. Like, they got rid of it, like, in one fell swoop.
Yeah. So now you don't have to stance and you don't have to dance anymore. You just put the stance on, run through the content, you're good to go. Promise.
You don't have anyone saying, oh, you're a tank, you need to be doing this amount of DPS. The tank is doing DPS now.
Mm-hmm. You get max DPS in the very beginning. Yep. We're doing damage. So good.
Death to tanxiety.
Do you think that maybe that they've oversimplified it? Because that's one thing that...
And that's what I'm worried.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a big worry of mine because I feel like, you know, people might accuse a current build of being too easy. But the thing is, you know, the balance is between trying to figure out what is too easy and what is too hard. And Yoshida has always had the desire to make the game accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
So in that vision, I feel like he's achieved that by what he's done to the tank build. So many people didn't tank because of its difficulty, because of trying to stance, trying to hold aggro, you know, the frustration of players when someone wouldn't hold aggro properly. Those problems won't exist anymore. There's more chances for people to try out the tanking classes to experience that kind of style of play. And I think if it is oversimplified, if it is easier, it's done in the desire to allow people more access. And I think that's what is important, is allowing everyone a chance to try it, at least for once. And then see if they like it.
And have fun with it.
Definitely have fun with it.
You know, if they've made the classes fun, and as someone who loves Dark Knight very much, love them changes.
Oh, it's so
Dark Knight
good
now. Is so good now. And I don't hate it at all. I don't hate the other tanks either. Like, I think they've done such a good job.
Oh, Gunbreaker.
And I
love it.
I hope this makes it more. I hope we see more tanks. I hope we see. Well, actually, considering half the tanks can't get into the queue right now, maybe not so much that I want to see more tanks. Because please give me my queue priority back, please.
Yeah,
this was the only fear that everybody had, was the queues for both tank and DPS.
Oh, now it's all healers. Everyone needs healers.
Yep.
For queue.
I'm playing primarily a white mage. I actually helped a friend level from 60 to 70 on their Gunbreaker, and for that I played an Astrologian, which is really, it's a lot of fun now. I was really kind of worried about the thing with the cards as far as all of them are balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they've done it is each of the different cards kind of has a symbol associated with it. You use the card, and if you get one of each different type of symbol, then you can use the this other spell. It's called Divination. It's an AoE and it buffs everybody's damage. So it's really kind of cool in the fact that you have to pay attention still as far as what card are you using? Are you getting one of each symbol? And if you don't have, if you get a card and you don't need that symbol, then you redraw or you turn it into Minor Arcana. It made it really kind of fun as far as it's almost like a slot machine now.
No, yeah.
There are cards that are kind of associated, that you have sets of three. So three cards are associated with tanks and melee DPS. And then the other three cards are associated with ranged DPS and healers, which means there is still some element of RNG to it based on your party if you want them to have the maximum amount of DPS. That screwed me up to begin with. I was like, why am I putting balance on a tank? I'm confused. Help me. Why is the ball not going on the tank? Why does the ball go to the casters now? I don't like this. I hate it. But then you grow to love it after like 5 minutes. It's like, wow, they've made this so much more fun.
Once you figure it out, yeah. I'm really interested in going back to that and actually continuing to level that from 70 to 80. But as soon as I got to 70, I switched over to my primary healing class, White Mage, which is all of the healing. It is just all of the healing, which was really important because at first, I gotta say, Gunbreakers are a little squishy. When I was trying to heal my Gunbreaker tank on Astrologian, it was a little rough at some points. But as soon as I switched over to White Mage, it was like, boom, I got this. So that was fun. I have to say, I love Daya and I love Glare. Actually, I'm a little angry at Glare at the same time because I love it because...
You're glaring at Glare.
I'm glaring at Glare. Yes, nice. I am. I'm glaring at Glare because as much as Essie went on about how we want healers to just be healers, we don't want them doing DPS. Glare does some really nice DPS right at the get-go, about 10K. And I was like, whoo. This is more than Stone 3 ever did. Okay. So that was really nice. Love those healer queues. I get an instant queue every time.
Yep. Healers have taken priority now as far as getting content done. So,
yep.
It is. But to be fair, they're kind of making us work for those queues because kind of just getting briefly into some of the new dungeons, generally, it is healing intensive. Mm. Holy crap.
It is the start of the expansion. Not everybody outgears everything. So you're not going to be able to do them big double pulls like you could, and the mobs hit hard. So
they do.
It is healing intensive.
Not trying to jump ahead, but in jumping in the first dungeon, I tried to do a big pull, and it was a bad no-no.
Very bad no-no, Croa. Bad Croa.
I may have given that poor healer a heart attack, and I apologize, but because I got hit so hard, and I was like, oh, oops.
Oh, yeah. And it seems like that there's a lot more AoE damage, especially in the boss fights. There are times where it's like, I'm gritting my teeth, like, can I keep up with this? And somehow you make it through, but at least for me, as far as a healer, I feel like I'm forced to actually utilize my entire toolkit. I have to keep track of lucid dreaming, any of my other MP regens. Also, if I have a shield, I have to use all of that in kind of concert to make sure we get through it. Not even just the boss fight, but the trash pulls. Sometimes the trash pulls were worse.
Yep. Tilt, what are you playing right now?
You know me. I'm going to be a Dragoon until I die.
Oh, you're going to be on the floor then. Okay.
No, I want you to know.
Dragoon is good now. I've heard reports.
The jumps are so fast.
Actually, yeah, I did a quick analysis on that. Yes, I do weird stuff. Don't mind me. Animation for regular jump, you're about 1.5 seconds. With this one, you're actually under a second now, and it's like you see your guy go up and come back down, and if you blink, you actually miss him actually hitting the mob. So all I see is, wait a second. Did I actually jump, or did I just like, SE, did you forget something here? And then I went back and looked at the recording, and you see it for like 9 frames out of a 60 frames per second hitting the mob and going back up. There's like not much animation to it anymore.
Are we not allowed to make floor tank jokes anymore because you're just too good now? Like, I'm really genuinely sad. Like rip floor tank jokes. Like, I'm sad.
If I have to post video of me actually dodging stuff to prove that I'm not a floor tank, I will post it.
Yes.
And this is pre-Shadowbringers too. I could post from first Delta Skate raids, totally negating stuff that probably should have got me killed.
Nice.
But no, like it's more streamlined. I will say one thing that feels broken is the AoE rotation, because you do your, oh God, I'm forgetting it now. But I know Sonic Thrust is the second one, and then you go into your Korthus Torment. If you do Life Surge before Korthus, for some reason it crits all of the mobs you hit. So I think they're going to be fixing that, because I don't think that is supposed to be like that.
Maybe not.
I would say that's, I wouldn't consider that broken. I'd consider that an air quotes feature.
Right. But if I remember right back in the old style, and it could just be how they have it now. If you were to do,
I mean, damage per second. So
yeah, if you were to do a life search into an AOE, the first mob would take the blunt blow and the rest of them would take normal damage unless Vic crit it. But this crits them all. So it's just slightly broken, but at the same time, I don't want to point it out because I like it.
Yeah, maybe we should cut this part of the podcast out. Maybe we should just cut this bit so that dragoons nobody, everywhere don't immediately scream us.
All they hear is just two chocobos talking at this point. Oh, the editors are going to hate me for this.
Oh my.
Dragoon, I'm loving it.
As far as, so I also play Bard as an alternate class. And one thing I have to say, and anybody else who plays here, who plays a DPS, the removal of TP, it's like, wee, AoEs all the time, yes. Every day, all day.
That's awesome.
Only thing that I mean, especially because I do play a bard, I kind of have to look over at Dancer. I'm like, you stole my stuff. Give it back.
Fight with Machinist too, though, to be fair. Like, Machinist stole, like, a bunch of your stuff.
Everybody just stole our stuff. Like, I was saying to a friend the other day, it's like, I just kind of do pathetically, kind of like, do, pew, pew. That's about it.
Pew, pew.
But it's super flashy.
It is very flashy. I still love Bard, and I'm still going to stick with Bard. I'm going to try out Dancer more later, but as far as, like, right now, I don't know about anybody else. It was, like, really exciting the first time that I got a queue where there was no Dancers.
Nice.
For the first day, it was every DPS. Every DPS was a Dancer.
I've been seeing a lot of black mages in my queues. I've been doing a lot of red mage so far. I've only recently switched to Astro because I unlocked the first dungeon, which meant there was leveling potential there. But we've already gone over Astro. You know, I've been seeing a lot of, like, black mages. I've been seeing a lot of monks. I've seen a couple of samurais. I rarely get paired with dancers. But then again, that's probably because half of them aren't up there. And I have been playing one. I've been leveling one, like, obsessively because I'm a little upset with monk. Like, a little. So I've traded out for dancer and I'm leveling.
You're upset. Let's hear it. Get it all out. Why are you upset with Monk?
Okay. So I feel like the synergy issues are still there. I'm a little upset that they didn't fix them. I feel like Monk is still, like, the redheaded stepchild of, like, the classes right now. I was so impressed with the reworks on Red Mage, on Astrologian. Dancer is so, so well put together. The tank's phenomenal right now. Like, they've done such a good job. And then I look at Monk and I kind of like, oh, did they leave you until last again? Because you were kind of, like, meh last time as well. But yeah, like I said, the synergy issues are still there. I feel like with the removal of positionals from so many classes or only needing them a couple of times, I feel like Monk still has, like, that issue where everything's a little bit all over the place with those. I mean, people will probably disagree with me. And then there's the weaving in more off global, like, into your rotation, which was the problem to begin with. It's like having to weave in all of these extra buttons with all of the stuff that you're already doing and the positionals. So I feel like it's become busier and a little bit less accessible. I mean, maybe that's what they want, for it to be, you know, a little more of a high tier play class or whatever. But, you know, like, I think it could still take some adjustment. There's some things that are missing from Monk that I feel like it would benefit from. Maybe it gets better later on. Maybe you level it up to 80 and it's an absolute god. And it's the diamond in the rough. But I traded Monk out for Dancer and I'm enjoying Dancer a lot. So I'll probably revisit it at some point. And everybody will probably tell me to, like, eat my words and get the hell out because I'm just being unnecessarily shady. But, you know, it's whatever.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel the same way about Bard right now. I'm still pushing through because it's my favorite DPS.
It's class. Your baby.
It is my baby, and there's some benefits as far as we have, like, a new AoE Shadow Bite, which is pretty cool. The way that they have changed Straight Shot, actually, I kind of like that. At first, I was a little salty about the removal of our end attack. I can't recall what it's called right now because it just doesn't even matter anymore. But yeah, like, I quickly kind of
Empyrean Arrow, wasn't it?
No, that's the new one, I think. I can't remember. Yeah, it was like Misery's End. That's what it was. About the removal of Misery's End. That at first it made it a little difficult because I was still wanting to push that button. But I've kind of gotten over it and I'm still enjoying it, but it does feel like you look at all the other classes, what they've done for them, and you're like, wow.
Yeah, we're kind of sat here over here in the corner like, but our baby classes, we're like lifting them up to Square Enix like, please, please, sir, can I have some more?
Yeah, just a little bit more love. I mean, we did get some, I guess, but yeah. It just feels like we're not on par with some of the other classes. But once I hit 80, maybe I'll be singing a different tune, no pun intended.
With Monk, at least they removed that awful tackle mastery thing. It's like, thank you for getting rid of that. It was stupid and nobody liked it.
The one thing I'm really, really super salty about, even though I know it doesn't matter anymore, it's just, it's a psychological thing. I want my protect back. Give me protect back.
Oh my God. Yes. Preach. Girl, give me my protect back. The tanks right now, they need it, baby. They need it. Please give it back to me. Don't skin while you're at it.
I think the thing with protect, as a tank, I've been tanking since Stormblood. One thing I got used to doing, and maybe it was bad habit for me, I always had the mentality of trying to help the healer make it easier on them by using my cooldowns.
Your cooldowns.
And I always use my cooldowns, even if it's not a tank buster, even if I'm just mob pulling, I still popped my cooldowns. When I noticed my health get to a certain point, I always put those cooldowns up. I've never seen anything negative as a result. Granted, there might have been extra, you know, effort on my part to maintain that, you know, the shadow walls and stuff like that. I've never really had a problem with damage because I've always had those cooldowns, and I've noticed certain opportunities where had I not used that cooldown, I would have died. So I get that protect is a really helpful resource with damage mitigation, but I think in a way it may have handicapped a few of tank players because they get so used to that buff, they don't use their cooldowns. They stop using cooldowns because protect's on, I'm good to go. I'm just going to sit here and take damage. That's what the cooldowns are for.
It's like a little band-aid, and it kind of makes them... I can see how that's a thing, and maybe they wanted
you
people to
rely
move away
more
from
on
it.
The cooldowns, because a lot of the cooldowns, like Rampart and Shadow Wall, for me, you know, both of them do 20% reduction. And then there's Blackest Night you can still use. I knew, you know, Blackest Night is supposed to be used in a specific way, but they took off the whole... adds blood to your meter. In a way, it's also a mitigation technique. And I think that's what they wanted you to rely on more, is the shields that come with the tank class versus, you know, this magic spell that it just really takes away your awareness of your cooldowns and what they do for you.
So the message here is, tanks, use your cooldowns. Don't stress your healers out. Please, for the love of God.
Just it's it's so nice to your healer to help them. You know, they're your buddy. They're trying to keep you alive. So help them help you keep you alive. If I don't know if that made any sense, but you know, like...
They hold your life in their hands.
Just don't make it harder for them, you know? Like, they're already...
And don't encourage them to drop it.
Exactly.
And that's going to be a verdict, actually, across the board, whether you're tank, healer, or DPS, is... They've really designed the classes to where they want you to use all of your abilities.
Cool down.
To be as effective as possible. Yeah, you have to cooperate with your team. You have to use all of your abilities, know what your abilities do. Like, they really do seem like they're trying to trim the fat on abilities that nobody touches. Even, like, headshot on Bard. Because have any of you played with the interrupt thing?
I use low blow on tanks when I see those interrupt casts, so.
Yeah.
I haven't really experimented with that yet.
It's cool.
Using it on Dancer, it's very useful.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's definitely nice. Especially like when you want to stop those big AoEs usually kind of wipe everybody.
Yep.
So overall, what's our verdict on the job changes? Let's go down the line. So Croa, you first.
I love the new tanks. I'll repeat what I said at the beginning. Please, if you've been worried about tank, now's the time to try it. Good stuff.
Okay, Anki?
Good changes all around, except maybe Monk and maybe Bard. But, you know, even the new classes look good. Like, Square Enix, you kind of, like, you hit the ball out of the park. There's, like, apart from minor quibbles, like, there's really nothing bad to say. Pick up them classes, try them out, they're better than ever.
Okay, Telp?
I don't know. I haven't experimented with anything other than Dragoon and a little bit of Gunbreaker, so I'm still on the fence, but so far I'm loving the Dragoon changes. Gunbreaker I'm actually enjoying, so I do say experiment if you can.
As far as myself, even with the changes that I really weren't excited about with Bard, I have to say overall, everything feels a lot more streamlined. Everything flows generally better, and it is a lot of fun to play, even just going out questing, dungeoning, and stuff like that. Now, when it comes to raid, it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out as far as the, sorry to use a bad word, the meta. We're going to really, I think, see who the winners and losers are then. And that's what I'm kind of worried about. But for right now, even, you know, like I said, Bard, I'm not happy with all the changes, but it plays, it's fun. It plays well. So overall, I'm kind of thinking giving a B plus. B plus, A minus.
Yeah, A minus is pretty good.
A minus. Okay. I think that's fair. So moving on from job changes, one of the first things that you see in the expansion is one of the new areas, the Crystarium.
Oh, that eye candy, though. That eye candy, though, girl.
It is breathtaking. It is a very, very big area. It makes Kugane look like a little Hamlet.
Yeah,
I get lost a lot in
Yeah, because there's so many levels to it.
I have to rely to the Aether. I cannot wander anymore. And happily land upon my location. I must teleport at all times because there's no way I can just walk to a place.
It's like you said, Kim, there's so many tiers to it. So it's kind of, it's not overwhelming in a bad way, but overwhelming in a good way because you're like, starry-eyed, you're looking everywhere like, vastness. Oh, look at all this neat stuff. But there's so many levels to it.
What's this?
Yes, precisely.
Look everywhere.
I'm dying. The lore is so good. Screams.
It is.
I kind of find it funny that we got Eeyore, or well, not Eeyore, yes, really. Norvant has a strip mall.
It does! It has a strip mall!
And it was so funny, like, okay, to get into the story, like, when you're first getting your tour of the Crystarium, and the Exarch points over to one of the stores, like, we even have some things that you might remember from the source.
It's
a freaking tome phone!
The character's face.
Everybody face palms and stared at your character.
They're like, no!
Some of those assets are very modern looking. Like, you have food in, like, little polystyrene, you know, like, those things you get with your takeaway. Like, polystyrene boxes. And I'm just like, what is this? You have tome phones? Polystyrene stuff? Like, I want to live here. Let me stay. Don't send me.
It's nice.
Are they trying to make the first more, like, reality than Eorzea is?
There's a reason for it. I don't want to try and think of the easy way to go into it without spoiling too much. But let's just say the whole reason why everything looks the way it does is because of the Crystal Tower. So,
yeah,
like it's literally just that.
They got all the neat doodads from the Crystal Tower.
Everything that you see is, I guess, the best way to describe it in so many words. That's how the Allegans live, is how the Crystarium is designed, because they got everything from the tower.
And not to mention that Gil is crossed over from our
We're not broke.
We're not broke. They fixed that issue.
It's just such a neat little historical item, because in fact the term Gil comes from Allegan as well. And so it just kind of really neatly fit. Yeah, the whole reason the Eorzean Alliance used Allegan currency. That's what we use on the source, is Allegan currency. Because everything in the Crystarium comes from Alleg, therefore Gil works really well. It just balances out between two different areas, and it's just, I like that. I like that.
It's so neatly interwoven.
Yeah, that sense of just consistency is so fantastic.
So kind of going more into the areas of the Crystarium, we had a beautiful garden area. Which,
yes.
There's so much RP that's going to happen there. And as an RPer, that's what I look for. Is like, I can RP there. I can RP there. The bar. Oh, hell yeah. That's going to happen.
Pub. Give me the pub.
Oh, God. Yeah, the bar.
It is. It's a really, really nice bar.
The spot that I see Croton sitting at is the library. The library is huge.
I mean, I log out there.
We only get access to half of it.
It is a beautiful library. Yeah.
And we only get access to half of it because if you pay attention when you walk in, there is an opening in the floor. And then there's a gate that comes up on one side. If you look through that opening, you can see it just goes down for ways.
Yep. Then also there is the inn areas. There's actually no real inn in the Crystarium. You have an area where you go to is the Warrior Light, Warrior Darkness, as far as to go rest. Then there's also another building where supposedly the locals stay. And I, like, when I was in there, I was kind of raising an eyebrow and I was kind of like metaphorically looking over at Essie, looking at Essie. I'm like, are we going to get apartments? And that would actually be kind of cool if we had actually just, not housing, but just apartments.
Yeah.
In the Crystarium. And especially like when I was walking around, I was noticing there's so many unique assets as far as the furniture and the decorations, like even the windows, they gave those unique designs.
The style is so distinct. Yeah.
It is. And whenever that's happened, it seems like we always get kind of a companion living area. So I'm kind of wondering and crossing my fingers if down the line we kind of get a little surprised as far as apartments in the Crystarium.
That'd be pretty cool.
It would be really
awesome. If it's just apartments, I don't think anybody would argue with it, to be honest.
It wouldn't be bad. I mean, we don't, in my opinion, as far as housing, more apartments and maybe actually like expanded apartments as far as apartments that are like two levels versus just the one, I think that would actually be a really nice compromise as far as the housing situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, theoretically, down the line with Ishtagard, we're going to get like a full complete housing area with also the outdoors as well. And that would be cool. But then I think at that point, it's like, okay, this is it as far as like the traditional housing with the indoor and the outdoor. Just add more apartments.
Yeah.
Apartments everywhere.
Nope.
So I'm kind of crossing my fingers as far as that, because that happens. Oh, buddy, I'm going to be moving my apartment to the Crystarium.
You know what I've not seen a lot of in this expansion, though? And I don't know. I don't know if it makes me sad or not. They've got like these. They don't have burbs anymore. We don't have our chocobos. There's Amara. I think they're called Amara.
Yeah, the Amara.
The Amara. Yep, we have Amara now. Like they had falcons in Dharma and Yangsha. They had like birds instead. But I haven't seen that many chocobos. You see that initial one in the cutscene as you arrive.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, like, where are all the bows at?
They actually talk about it. The individual that you speak about when he's telling you about the Amaros, you get an option to ask him about the chocobos. And he's like, well, we haven't seen those very often. You know, there's only one part of the area that uses them, but we prefer the Amaro. So it's actually a cultural adjustment.
Yeah, and that's neat.
Interesting.
To them, the Amaro serves their purpose better than the Chocobo does on the first. So it's really interesting how they decided to, as a culture, pick a different kind of mount.
Yeah, horses versus, for courses, that, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other thing that you don't see a lot of, other than the occasional delivery Moogle, are Moogles in general.
That's okay. I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with that.
Like, they're not telling me to go and pick up their stuff. It's not like the Churning Mist where you have all the Moogle quests, so I don't have to be afraid of that anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, good.
Instead, we get Feo'ul.
Nice.
I think she's kind of cool. I like her.
She is adorable.
She's sassy.
Slightly terrifying.
Slightly terrifying, only a little bit.
Only a little bit.
Oh my goodness. So any other comments as far as regarding the Crystarium?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's beautiful, and I think they did a good job of reworking some of the Project Rapture
assets.
Rapture assets and reusing them, because it was so sad that stuff never made its way into the original game, and now we have it, and they've improved on it, they've made it beautiful. It's a stunning area overall.
Yep.
Now, as we come towards the end of today's episode, let's just briefly talk about the new story as far as our impressions with that. So we end right as far as hearing about looking for this locator device that to connect to whoever it is that's trying to call us. Go out into the wilds of Mordona, walk around, we find it. Then we're kind of like off right away to the first.
Yep.
So what are your kind of impressions as far as the first couple of steps of the MSQ?
They could have given me lunch first.
So they already allude to the fact that there's multiple appearances of several things that you are familiar with. And I think that was a really fantastic direction to take with, since we can mention it because it was in the trailer, the peddler, you know, when you show up on the first, you know exactly who he is. You've seen him before. You see him all the time. He's the guy that introduces everything to you in A Realm Reborn. And he's there again. But it's not the same person. So this was actually asked in an interview to Yoshida, and Yoshida explained to people that that's the basic concept of the design of the first. Everything is meant to be similar, but not in appearance, but not in history. And
right.
I mean, it's a game at this point. It's a trivia to be able to go to this new dimension and find so many things that are similar, but know that they're not the exact same thing. You know that they have a different history. You know that they have a different name. They just look the same. And it's just so cool. And I mean, you're finding all sorts of things all over the place. And it's just, I can make this a pastime almost, like make it, you know, trying to draw all these lines and comparisons. So it's really fun. I think it's really cool. And they started that from the get-go. The moment you start the first quest, you immediately find something that's like, wait, isn't it supposed to be from there on? It's just a flood of, no pun intended, flood of various similarities. So
it's enough to be able to give you as a player a little bit of a personal attachment, especially like you're talking about the peddler. As far as one of the first things that you do is you sit down and you talk with the peddler, you get some information about the first, and you know, to kind of, and this is a big spoiler here. So one of the first things that you notice about the peddler is this big giant blue ring that he's wearing as he talks.
Oh, and too early.
Like, it's it's hard to ignore
that bling is eye-catching.
It is very eye-catching.
Especially when they like force feed it down your screen. Like, this is all you see.
Yeah. They focus on it. So after you leave the peddler and you go to the Crystarium, you go and you're talking to one of the first NPCs who definitely kind of carries you throughout the rest of the story later. Won't give away her name. But you're talking to her. And as you're talking to her, all of a sudden there is a Sinnator kind of attack. And she kind of leaps over you and she just slays that sucker right there. And
he did.
She's a badass. Yeah. Oh, he's dead. And then the Sinnator phased away. And all you see on the ground is that ring that the peddler was wearing. And this NPC says, like, oh, he must have just eaten somebody. And then you immediately made the connection that this peddler you were talking to only just a few moments before, he's gone. He's dead.
And you realize the world isn't screwing around at that point, too. It's like, this is like, that thing is genuinely dangerous and it eats people. It could have eaten you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but that is part of everyday life, because that NPC is so blasé as far as like, yeah, he ate somebody. It happens.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't even bat an eye at it. There's another one to add to the list.
Yeah, and it really kind of then sets the tone for the rest of the story, which we're not going to get into right now. We're going to save that later for a spoiler cast where we'll talk about the story, I'm sure, over the course of multiple episodes. There is so much to cover. That was kind of the one thing I will say as far as the story is I've experienced it thus far. It's almost overwhelming as far as everything that's going on.
Mm. I don't have enough paper for these notes.
Yeah. Not to mention, like, just hearing the responses from some of the people I've talked to, hands down, enjoying this as probably better than Heavensward.
Yeah,
so far.
People are hailing it as the best expansion so far. Mm-hmm. Even just with, like, the first impressions, people are saying it's the best that they've offered yet. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It is. It's the bar. It is so far outclassed any of the other expansions of Realm Reborn, Heavensward, Stormblood combined. To me, anyways, as far as the storytelling, and they've gone so far above and beyond that the one thing that worries me is this is now set the bar. This is it.
It's high.
They cannot do less. They have to keep it up. And especially kind of, you know, briefly to kind of go outside of our normal conversation, especially with a lot of the new players that we have from other games. This is their first expansion. This is what they're going to expect from here on out.
Yep.
As exciting as it is, it's kind of like,
this is really nice for new players. Yeah. Yep. This is a treat for new players.
Yeah. Like when they drop the hint for the E3 trailer that, you know, primals, both Zodiarch and Hydaelyn.
I mind your spoiler.
And they said that is not like a tip of the iceberg.
Ugh.
They haven't joked around about that yet. Like, there is so much going on right now.
They've set the bar so high now that they are going to have to, like, Olympic gold medalist athlete high jump that stuff to be able to do better. Like,
you mean Dragoon high jump?
Yes.
But <Ba-dum.
laughs> So, but other than that, it's just be prepared. There's going to be a lot of spoilers coming out over the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a chance to play, play it. If you have somebody new, please make it the best experience that they have. Don't be like some of the people I've actually come across and say, get good and then leave the party.
Oh, wow.
Just be friendly with them. Be patient. Maybe show them how to play the game a little, just a little. Because jump potions are now at 70. Yeah. That's the other thing that we have to worry about.
Make this community the thing that it's... I mean, everybody says the Final Fantasy XIV community is just so good. And yeah, a few rotten apples can spoil the bunch. So the more we kind of feed into us having this friendly, welcoming, helpful community, like, the better things we'll get for new players and we can welcome more into the game.
So to kind of wrap up the episode, follow up on and what Tilp said is be the best representative of the Final Fantasy XIV community that you can be. Be kind, be helpful, and just be amazing. Mm-hmm. So as we
be
know
the
that
actual the warrior of light.
Be the actual
be
warrior of light.
To one another, my
hero.
Dudes.
Exactly. So with that, we're going to wrap up today's episode and we look forward to talking to you next time. Until then, goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Later days, guys.
AetherStream is part of Aetherflow Media, a community-based project with a focus on Final Fantasy XIV. Aside from this podcast, we produce web content and our magazine, Aetherflow. And if you like what you see and hear, consider joining our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/aetherflowmedia. All funds go towards providing you with the best possible content that we can create.